Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God that we hear this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 51 to 69. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled amongst themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, but he who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, Do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So far, the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. This is what's known as the fundamental theorem of calculus. It explains the relationship between differentiation and integration. It's a hard thing to understand, at least for most of us. Might be some of you out there, math geniuses, who know what it means. It's been a long time since I've taken calculus. Couldn't really explain it to you. This is a rock in the woods known as Jacob's pillow. It's not the actual rock that Jacob used as a pillow. There's a long story why it's called Jacob's pillow, but whether it was the actual rock or not, it's a hard thing to sleep on. There's a difference between something that is hard, because it's hard to understand, and something that is hard because we wouldn't like to sleep on it, isn't there? This is a physics lecture at Princeton. Hard to understand, right? Fingernails on a chalkboard. Hard to listen to. Not because we don't understand it, but because we don't like to listen to it. There's a difference between something that is hard to listen to because it's hard to understand, something that's hard to listen to because we don't really want to hear it. In our text, John 6, verse 60, we read, This is a hard saying. Who can understand it? This is the New King James translation, and it gives the impression that the people were complaining because they couldn't understand Jesus. Here's the ESV translation. This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? This is one of those rare cases where the ESV is probably a better translation. The Jews were not complaining about what Jesus was saying because it was hard to understand. They were complaining because they didn't like what he was saying. They were complaining because they thought Jesus' words were like fingernails on a chalkboard grating against their soul. They didn't like what they heard. Hard to listen to, because it was unpleasant. The Greek word is the word skleros, and it means something that is rough or unpleasant. like sandpaper grating against your skin. So are the words of Jesus in the ears of the Jews. Unpleasant. Now, it's true that the Jews did have difficulty understanding the words of Jesus at first. That's why John chapter 6 is 71 verses long, because you have this constant back and forth where Jesus says something and the Jews come back with something they clearly don't understand him, and Jesus tries to explain it, going back and forth. However, you notice that the Jews didn't leave at that point. They didn't leave during the discussion when they were trying to understand what exactly Jesus was saying. They leave now, here, when they do finally understand him, and they don't like it. John 6:61, Jesus replies to them, "Does this offend you?" Notice he does not say, "Does this confuse you?" as in it's hard to understand, but "Does this offend you?" as in it's hard to hear. The words of Jesus do offend many people. There are things in the scriptures that are hard to understand, but that's not usually the reason why people leave Christ, even today. More often, people leave Christ not because of what they don't understand, but because they do understand and they don't like it. How many people from this very congregation have left? Not because of what they don't understand, but because of what they do understand. I think there's many people who have heard the pastor and don't like it. And there are probably times when the pastor, myself, or one of your previous pastors misspoke or misled with the way they spoke. But usually people leave because the pastor is speaking the word of God correctly and they don't like it. Jesus' words are hard to listen to, even to us. They're sometimes hard to listen to, a pill hard to swallow. And what are we to say in those times? What are we to say to those who are offended by Jesus' words? What are we to say to ourselves when Jesus' words are hard to hear? Well, we don't have to make up our own answer. The scriptures provide the very best one for us through Peter. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Notice that Peter doesn't try to argue that he is better at understanding Christ's words than the Jews. He doesn't try to argue that Jesus' words are less offensive to him than to the other Jews. In fact, we know that that's not true. We have multiple instances in Scripture where the disciples take Jesus aside and say, "Explain to us, we don't understand. What were you teaching?" We have incidences where the disciples argue with Jesus. They know what he's saying, and they don't like it. For example, when Jesus is talking about how the Messiah must suffer and die, and Peter says, "Far be it from you, Lord," and Jesus responds, "Get behind me, Satan." There were definitely times when the apostles didn't understand Jesus, and there were definitely times when the apostles were offended by what Jesus said. They didn't like it. But the difference between Peter and the other disciples and the crowds is that even when they don't like what Jesus is saying, they respond, "Where else are we going to go? The path that your words paint for us, the direction you want us to go, might not be the one that we would choose, and it might not be the one that we like, but we know there is no other path." However dark those words might seem to us now, they lead to eternal life. Where else are we going to go? "Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." "I don't understand everything you say, Jesus, and I don't even like everything you say, Jesus. But I know your words are life, and I know that you are the Savior." With this response, Peter actually emulates one of my heroes, one of my favorite men in Scripture. Perhaps I'm sure we've talked about him before. John chapter 9, the man born blind. You remember this story? Here we have a man who was blind from birth, And Jesus heals him. And the man ends up in an argument with the Pharisees. This is one of the reasons I like this guy so much. He ends up in an argument with the Pharisees over whether he should listen to Jesus, whether Jesus really could be the Messiah. And the Pharisees are coming with all these arguments, all these philosophical arguments, all of these educated arguments, all of these scripture passages. And what does the man respond? Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. This is great. You have all kinds of educated arguments. You know, I can't talk to you about Scripture. I've been blind my whole life. I haven't had time to study it. But what do I know? I know that I was blind, and the man gave me sight. You notice how, just like Peter, he goes back to the grace of God. It's not about what I understand. It's not about what I like. It's about what I've seen Jesus do for me. I don't like everything the Scripture says. There are passages that I read and I think, really? Why? But I know who spoke those words. The one who died for me and rose again. The one who gives me the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Where else are we going to go? You alone have the words of eternal life. You know, so far we've been talking in the abstract, haven't we? And when we talk in the abstract, it's okay, we can think about it. We can realize that it might be hard someday to listen to God's words. Maybe we can even remember some time when it was hard for us. But this wasn't abstract for the Jews. When Jesus was talking to them in our text, it wasn't something that, well, okay, you guys think about it and get back to me in a few months if you feel like following me. Jesus was calling them right there and right then to do something very difficult. To leave behind the false Jewish theological traditions. To leave the Pharisaical traditions that they had grown up with. To leave behind their false notions of an earthly Messiah, to accept Him as the Messiah, and to follow Him. It was a hard thing that Jesus was asking. And so many of them left. It's one thing to look at a picture of fingernails on a chalkboard. It might make us cringe a little bit, those of us who know the sound. It's another thing to actually hear it, right? But not to worry. Found a chalkboard for you guys, so. A lot harder to hear the real thing than just look at a picture. There's times in our lives, too, when the rubber meets the road with Jesus' saying, so to speak. There are times in our life when we're not just going to be discussing these hard sayings in church, but we're going to face moments in our life when Jesus is going to be asking us to do hard things. Maybe it's a very, very difficult point in our marriage. Not just a bump, not just a low point, but a very dark time in our marriage when it seems impossible to continue. And the words of Jesus say, forgive. Work hard. Fix it. Don't give up. At that time, the sayings of Jesus are hard, like lying on a bed of stone. And it's at times like that when we need more than ever the words that the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit speaking, not Peter, the words that the Holy Spirit spoke through Peter. Where else are we going to go? It may not look like our favorite thing to do, but it's really the only choice. Maybe there will come a time in your life when doing the right thing means you're going to suffer. When doing the right thing is going to cause problems for you and those you love. At such times, the words of Jesus are a hard thing. Do the right thing anyway. a hard thing like lying on a bed of nails. It's at times like that when we need the words of Peter, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We have no other Savior." Maybe there will come a time in your life when you've sinned, you've done something you shouldn't have. And the words of Christ clearly teach us that at such a time we ought to confess our sin to the person we sinned against and or to the pastor. And that's a hard, hard thing. Like lying on a bed of coals. Where else are we going to go? The path before us might look dark indeed, but it's only the words of Christ that can lead us through to that eternal light, that give us the forgiveness of sins and life. There are all kinds of reasons and all kinds of situations where we might not like what Jesus has to say, and Jesus' words might be to us a hard saying, where the easy thing is to back away, to turn our back like the Jews in our text and walk away. Where else are you going to go? You alone have the words of eternal life. God's word is often rough, like sandpaper scraping against our ears and our hearts. The Apostle John received a vision in Revelation 10, verses 9 to 10, which talks about how bitter God's word can be. "So I went to the angel and said to him, 'Give me the little book.' And he said to me, 'Take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be sweet as honey in your mouth.' Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in the mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter." God's word is sometimes bitter to our sinful flesh, but it's also sweet, sweeter than honey, with the message that we are forgiven, with the message that Jesus died for us, with the message of God's grace. And that's what both Peter and the blind man clung to. Not the things they didn't understand and not the things they don't like, but that sweet, wonderful message, that gospel that we are forgiven in Christ Jesus. 2 weeks from today, we're going to once again have the opportunity to receive with our mouth the very body and blood of Christ. And in coming to the Lord's Supper, we confess the truth of many of those things that we don't like to hear, many of those things that are hard to hear, like fingernails on a chalkboard, that we are sinners, that our hearts are filled with greed and lust and covetousness and a lack of trust in God. But we also confess and receive and taste that sweetness, that honey, the very body and blood of Christ who died for our sins and rose again. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Amen.